Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, February 11th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Miss Jenny Pickett. Jenny is one of our newly ordained deacons, and so I'm so grateful, Jenny, that you're taking the time to read the scripture for us, and I look forward to a time where you and I talk about things of life and faith after the scripture is read.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here today to help with this project. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version, beginning in Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 through 12. Now, as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him. And Jacob said when he saw them, "This is God's camp." So he named that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He also commanded them, saying, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. And I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and furthermore, he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two companies. For he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the company which is left will escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who didst say to me, 'Return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you,' I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which thou hast shown to thy servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and attack me, the mothers with the children. For thou didst say, 'I will surely prosper you, and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" And now we're going to be turning to Psalm 61. "Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to thee when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in thy tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of thy wings. For thou hast heard my vows, O God. Thou hast given me the inheritance of those who fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. So I will sing praise to thy name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day." And now we'll be reading from the book of John, beginning in chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. "And on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says to you, do it.' Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, 'Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter.' And they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then that which is poorer. Now you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Thank you so much, Jenny, for joining the podcast. We want to hear a little bit about you. Tell me about your family.
Well, I'm married to Dan Pickett. We have two amazing children. Charlie, he's 14. He's in eighth grade at Mountain Brook Junior High. And Lillian is almost 11. She's in fifth grade at Cherokee Bend.
What are their personalities like?
Oh my goodness, completely different. Charlie is all into sports, and he really enjoys being outside, playing, hiking, very much into Boy Scouts with his dad. Lillian is as much into activities and doing things, but hers is more on the creative side. Mm-hmm. She loves art, crafts, cooking. So both are so much fun, but in completely different ways.
Now, are you from Birmingham or did you grow up here?
No, I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. I went to school at the University of Alabama, and Dan and I met when we were in law school at Cumberland. He is from North Carolina. So we were blessed to meet at Cumberland and then blessed to make our home here in Birmingham.
Tell me about your hobbies and interests.
Well, cooking is one of my favorite things to do, and it's something that, as a family, we all do. I love reading, and the less I have to think about the book, the better. I mean, I really love reading as just a hobby, as just a getaway. And other than that, it's really spending time and just hanging with family. We have so much fun together, and we've actually started doing the board game thing. So as long as it's not Monopoly, because things get a little tense playing that game. We really have fun doing that as a family.
What is one of your favorite board games right now?
Life.
Okay.
I remember spinning the wheel growing up, but I don't really remember playing the game, but we've brought that back and actually played it last Friday night. And I think I'm going to try to get the children to play it with me again tonight.
You mentioned going to law school. Tell me a little bit more about your profession.
Well, I'm a lawyer, and the best way I can describe what I do, I think, is to say that I defend all the Alexander Shinara lawsuits. if someone is sued, whether it be in a car accident as a person, or maybe a business, if somebody slips and falls in their business, or if somebody is injured by a product, I might represent the manufacturer or the distributor of the product. Essentially, if somebody gets sued saying that they were hurt, the person that is suing was hurt, I defend the person being sued, and I'm retained by the insurance company to represent them. And so it's exciting. It's new. I mean, you think you've heard of everything, and then tomorrow comes, and something else comes up. But I love what I do. It's hard work. But it does afford me the opportunity, for the most part, to be with my family, especially with, you know, you've heard people say blessing and curse with the COVID outbreak is that we've learned how to do so much stuff remotely. And so I can do some work at home, and that allows me to get the children to activities and help with after school and do the cooking and stuff that we love together.
Tell me one thing maybe about you that I wouldn't know already.
You may not know this. I don't know that many folks know this, but growing up in Jacksonville, I was the child of a minister. My mother was the youth minister at our church at Southside Baptist Church in Jacksonville. And so I grew up in the church, like Webb and Eleanor and May, attending church, all the services, Wednesday night, Monday night visitation, but more importantly, participating with the youth group. I got to grow up with them as my older brothers and sisters. I got to go to all of the camps, Ridgecrest and Cross Point, and really enjoyed being a part of the church as a pastor's kid. I got to experience a lot of things that I might not have been able to otherwise. Going on youth trips and camps and things, I really developed, I feel like, my faith at a young age. And in fact, at one of the camps, I felt that I was being called to missionary work. That scared me to death when I thought about it, because there was an older youth who had been called to be a missionary in Zimbabwe. And I thought, I don't know where that is. I don't think I want to be there. And so it scared me to think that God was calling me to do missionary work. And then my mom talked it through with me. And over the years, I learned that the missionaries aren't just across the sea. They're here at home. And you can be just as much, just as important a missionary in your local community.
Which leads me to the next question. I know that you teach first through third Sunday school. I want you to tell me a little bit about that ministry.
As my grandfather would say, thank the blessed good Lord for Sharon Howard. She has sort of spurred me to do some things that I didn't necessarily think that I would ever do. She asked me to be a teacher for initially the second grade Sunday school class. And as my children were about that age, I was very happy to do it. But as my children have, as I said, Charlie's in the youth group, and I'm still teaching around that same second and third grade Sunday school, and I find it such a blessing. And again, I feel like it's a calling, and it's something that when Miss Sharon asked me every year, would you be willing to teach Sunday school again, without hesitation, I say, yes, I would. Mm-hmm. And what's really cool is that as much as you think about missionaries being help to others, the children are so much of a help to me because their precious smiles and their questions and the things that we talk about give a whole new perspective on the Bible and God's Word. And even the simplest parable or passage in the Bible that you feel like you've read 100 times, something new can come of it each year as, you know, new children come through the class.
I want to know how you came to faith. Did you come to faith as a child?
I did. It was probably 7, 8 years old. And again, it was just something that I never had a question about at that age. I knew that I loved the Lord and I was so much involved with church, but I feel like it really transformed and maybe became real as I grew older. And when I left home and the security of going to church every Sunday and Wednesday, and went to college where I didn't have a home church. For the first time, I wasn't comfortable in the church because I didn't know it. I mean, the church was my home growing up. And then, as you can imagine, being a philosophy minor, I kind of had to rework my religion. And I went about it by proving what I knew was right, proving it to myself. And so it was sort of a new awakening for me in finding religion, not by what was given to me and expected of me growing up, but by what I found independently on my own.
And how did you end up at Mountain Brook Baptist?
Well, that's another good question. Again, God works in mysterious ways. When Dan and I started dating, he grew up Baptist as well, and we knew that we wanted to find a Baptist church in the area. And so we looked at different churches, and the hymns on Sunday morning, I love the traditional service. I love old hymns. I love singing the harmony as best I can. And I think we came here because they had an early service in the chapel, and we wanted the rest of the day on Sunday to go do stuff. But Dr. Mobies was preaching, and he was about as big as Dan is. And there was just a connection. And I hearken back to Sharon Howard again. she realized that we were there and that we were new guests, and she called us and emailed and kept at us. And it was just sort of a no question. Once we came a couple of times and experienced Mountain Brook Baptist and the songs and the teaching and the people, that there was just, we knew that this was the place we wanted to be.
Is there anything that sticks out in your memory growing up, or several things that you guys did as a church?
One of my favorite, I'm going to say one of my favorite things, it's sort of a category, but from time to time, they would have sort of men cook-off Sunday night events where everybody would get together on Sunday night. We would meet in the sanctuary and we would request hymns. You'd raise your hand if there was a hymn that you just loved and hadn't heard for a long time. And I know Dr. Hatley would be all about singing, you know, whatever people request. And then I could get all my gospel hymns in. But after that, the men would have some sort of cook-off, whether it be their own chili that they would bring in and serve in little cups. Sometimes in the summer, we would have an ice cream social where men would make the ice cream and serve it up. My favorite was when they made cakes. And I remember how hard my dad worked to make a cake that was not pretty, and it tasted pretty good, but just it was neat seeing the men get involved in that way.
Speaking of hymns, what is one of your favorite hymns?
I knew this was going to be a question you were going to ask, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to answer it. So my answer is the old gospel hymns, Victory in Jesus, The Old Rugged Cross, Just As I Am. I think 275 was Victory in Jesus, I know, in our old hymnal. I can't give a one, but that category of hymns I absolutely love.
It's a hard question. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is an easier one. Do you have a favorite scripture?
I always go back to Philippians 4:13. And again, it takes me back to the youth group days where we would sing a song, which I'm not going to sing on this. But I've also found with teaching children that singing is a great way to learn. And Philippians 4:13 and the song that we used to sing is something that even when I'm mad, sad, upset, scared, that chorus will just run through my head. And I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for serving us as a deacon, a newly elected deacon this year. What is one of your hopes for the deacon ministry?
This is also not going to be a Sunday school answer. I'm looking to see how God is going to grow me stronger. That seems like a selfish answer because as a deacon, we are here to serve the church. And absolutely, I want to do that. But I'm also excited to see how God is going to work in me as well as through me with this new stage in my life. And let me just add, and I'll try not to cry, but my daddy was a deacon and his favorite service was the ordination service because he loved bringing new deacons into the church and he loved the process of laying hands and giving them words of encouragement. I hate that I couldn't be here, but I was with the church in spirit and in person, even though we were at Disney World, we were together. But I know that Daddy, who's up in heaven right now, is proud.
Jenny, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Would you end our time together with prayer?
I'd be happy to. Dear Father, thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for the wonderful people that you have placed here. Thank you for this project that reaches so many people in so many different ways. You are truly amazing and you grow with us through the ages. We pray that you continue to be with us individually and as a church family to grow and to continue in our love and service for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.